chapter 9. Revelation chapter number 9. You have it? Say amen. Woo! I forgot. You can have your Bible or your phone. Turn your phone on. That's where your Bible is. Wherever it is, get to it, because you need to read with me. Okay? This is not a book of fiction. How many knows that the Bible is not a book of fiction? It may sound like it when you get over here into Revelation, but it is not a book of fiction. This is fact. And one day this fact will be a reality. Amen? You have it now? Revelation 9, we're going to start with verse 20. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues. Now this is where I'm going to stay a while, so you want to put your finger on it, for this is a key verse. Yet they were not killed by the plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see, nor hear, nor walk. Neither repented they of their murderers, nor of their sorcery, nor of their fornication, nor of their theft. I want you to notice those two times, yet repented not, and neither repented they. Father, bless, we pray, the reading of your word. Six is the number of man. How many can say amen to that? One short of perfection, for seven is the number of perfection. And there are six sins which have become a deadly virus, eating away at the strength of America and our world. They are the glamorization of evil, materialism, secularism, murder, narcotic addiction, immorality, and dishonesty. You have them. I know what you're going to say. You're going to say, but Pastor, such sins have always been in the world. The answer to that is yes. But they have never reached, since the days of Noah, they have never reached flood tide until now. If you go back and you study the Old Testament, you know that when God was bringing them through the wilderness, he was waiting on the sins of those people who inhabited the land, that their cup would become full. When the cup became full, he was going to deliver them over to death. He was going to have Israel come in and slay them without mercy, because their sins were horrible. This is those days. They threaten us. We are caught in them. There's no place you can go to escape them. It's here upon us now. Christ our Lord reminds us in the society of Noah's time. This is the key word. They knew not. Or, as we would say, they didn't realize where they were living. They knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Matthew chapter 24, 39. So also shall the flood that come, so also shall the coming of the Son of Man be. They won't realize it until it's on them. We live in that society that is so full of information that really doesn't know anything. You that's got your smartphone, Google and find out if they can tell you when the Lord's coming. Ask them that important question. You know better, don't you? For there are some things that God Himself has said the best kept secret is with me. That's where it's at. You do not know. Because if you did know, you would never let revival die. All right. If you knew the hour in which you lived in, you would be praying and fasting. You would be beseeching God to have an old-fashioned revival. All right. But you really don't believe that this is the end time. You have a suspicion it is, but it's not affected you yet. You say, are you mad at me, Pastor? No, I'm not mad at you. You just live in this age. You live right here. Yeah. What will you do when you get out of church? Not invest any more time in the kingdom. You will go to bed. You will go to a restaurant. You will get your games out. You'll do something. And if you ask them why you're doing it, you'll say, I'm bored. So was Noah's day. They were bored stiff. They did not even suspect that all that hard labor that Noah was putting in was for a reason. God had one reason. That's to keep 8 souls alive. That's the only reason that ark. Wasn't it just a zoo, a floating zoo? So he repopulated the earth off the ark, but he could have done that with his word. But those souls, those 8 souls, he informed Noah because Noah found, what was that word?
Grace.
God's favor. He found God's favor, so he moved with, what's that word? Fear. To the saving of his family. Amen. The flood will crest one day. It will get as high as it's going to get. And then God will move in a way that will amaze everybody. The reason that we understand that is because he has done it before. When Babylon the Great was impregnable. Walls couldn't be breached. The food couldn't run out. They were partying. And God was plotting their overthrow. And then God had everything in place. He wrote on the wall, Mene tekel epsheron. Thou art weighed in the balance and found wanting. The kingdom has been taken out of your hand. And tonight you're going to die. It takes a God to fulfill that.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
So they didn't know until that night. They had no clue till that night. So here we're looking at my text. We're looking at sin. And what sin does, it still does. It blinds. The God of this world has one tactic. The first thing he does is blind. If you're blind, what you don't see won't bother you. But if you have eyes to see, it should be terrifying what we're seeing right now. I was reading in the paper, there's two interesting articles, one about the little first grade child. The other one is about Dayton and his technology, that they are going to try to make credit cards obsolete. If you read the fine print, it said they're going to try to do it by hand reading machine. So when you put it down, your print, how many knows that your print is a print that cannot be duplicated? You say, well, what's that got to do with me? While you were sleeping. The flood has gone up higher while you were sleeping. You say, that doesn't matter. It does. The Russian Christian Church in 1917 was in convention. There was rioting in the streets. Men were being killed, and they were in convention while the Russians were going over to communism, overthrowing the government. The Christian church was in convention. The officials spent 2 days arguing the question of whether to wear red or yellow robes in a certain church ceremony. Shortly, they didn't have church or robes. Communists had them. Can I somebody say amen?
Amen.
Church in China, 1946, lost all of it because they did not recognize what was happening in their part of the world. You are here at 0 hour. You're here when every church needs a revival. You're here when it is one of the most important things that we can do is to be ready and to be in revival. Mankind is in a war. The devil is now warring for your souls and your minds. Mankind is reaching that apex of the flood. You see it, but you don't see it. Moral disintegration. Moral disintegration. There are six sins in my text, six of them, that if these sins remain unchecked, they'll sweep away our walls. Like the flood that came, the wise man built his house upon the what? Rock. And the foolish man built his house upon the sand. They both appeared to be very stable until the flood came. When the rains beat and the winds blew and the flood came, it took the one on the sand away because it had no foundation. Are you preparing and building for the flood that's coming? Is your heart prepared for the moment when it hits its apex? What will happen to your children that are in the world with no anchor? What will happen to your home? Good thought. The glamorization of sin. We've never seen such a time when sin has been glamorized. The movies glamorize sin. Television glamorizes sin. Books glamorize sin. Automobile sales tied around sin. Clothing, sin. More people now are going naked than ever before. You're not helping me. We have criminals. Criminals in our political system. We have criminals that are being caught every day. And according to what you get caught at, you could embezzle, you may get slapped on the hand. We know it's there. We know it's in place. It's in our nation. But that's not the thing that we worry about, because none of us are really rich enough to really get hurt if they try to embezzle our money. We may have to start over, but we didn't have a whole lot to have to gain back. But there are people out there that you can't hardly use your card at a gas station. There are people out there that are sitting now. Just the other day, I got a phone call, and it was on the answering machine when me and Janie got back, and I pushed it and said, "This is the IRS. You are in a lawsuit. Please call this number." I said, "Forget you. I wasn't born yesterday. You haven't got nothing to do with me, and I don't have nothing to do with you. That was a scam." This place is full of them. But we have glamorized them. Movies glamorize. Books glamorize it. We make heroes out of people who don't deserve anywhere to be close to a hero. We twist and we warp our young. The impression that we put upon the minds of our children. Oh, you're not going to help me. I see that now. What are you going to do with them if they grow up like you're letting them imagine that they should grow up? First thing you buy them is a ball instead of a Bible. See, you don't want to help me, do you? We make impressions on our children when their mind is a clean white piece of paper. And instead of letting God write on it, we write on it what we want them to be. We write on them what we want them to dress like, how we want them to talk. They say smutty little words, we giggle, say, "Oh, isn't that so cute?" Cute now? Wait till he's 18. And he says a cute little word to you or to your wife. It won't be so cute. But we're making heroes out of people who don't have hero character. America's guilty of it. We have Spider-Man. We have Superman. We have Wonder Woman. Me and Pearlie discovered that we agree. We don't believe in the Easter Bunny nor Santa Claus. Me and Pearlie. But it is, we're doing it, and we know we're doing it. We try to make our children something that they can't live up to. And then when they can't live up to it, they fall back to something that you don't want them to live. You see, the impressionable mind of our children It's wide open when you set them in front of a television, when you set them in front of their little games, you set them in front of a computer, and they're all quiet, and you just love it because it's quiet and you got all that free time. But their little mind is a computer that's storing and storing and storing and storing and storing. And it's going to take an act of God, an act of the Almighty God, an act of God to ever get it out, if it ever comes out. And the filth of our society, those that are bad and ungodly, make more than our president. They write a dirty book, they become a millionaire. They star in a porn movie, they make money. And then somebody comes along and buys that trash and thinks that every woman in the world is dirty. That's okay, you don't have to help me. We are glamorizing sin. It's right here. They repented not of the works of their hands. They repented not of the works of their hands. They made these idols. They worshiped devils. We have forfeited the temptation to believe that it pays to be a rogue. Now, that's an old word. It fits me. I'm 70. Probably you wouldn't know what a rogue is. I didn't know if you would or not, so I thought I would read you the definition of a rogue. It used to be any animal that would break out of a herd, whether it was a bull, a dog, an elephant, become a rogue. A rogue simply means an animal that wanders apart from the herd and is fierce and wild. We think that now to be a rogue is the way to live. Break out of the herd. Get out on your own. Be wild. That's a definition of the last days. It's a definition of the last days. For this is written, my text is written, in the last half of the 7-year period. They are in great tribulation. A third of the world has already died, and they're still unrepentant. How hard can a man's heart get? Unrepentant with death around you? You do the math. How much is there in the world today? 7 billion? You take a third away from it and find out that's not a laughing matter. You're looking at 2.5 billion souls that will die under the plagues of God's hands. Not only are there plagues falling, but there Christians that missed the rapture are dying too. We think that in order to be popular, we can't get through life without being immoral. That the people who are living are the dirty ones. I want to tell you what you give up when you give up purity. Boys,
come on, Pastor.
You're to be as pure as a girl ever thought about being.
Come on, Pastor.
Don't you be no rogue and think that the only way that you can make a name for yourself is to make some girl dirty.
Come on, Pastor.
It is in this text that they did not repent. To them, it was not a problem. To them, it was a way of life. Godly sorrow worketh repentance. Amen. The man who is corrupt is the man who's having a good time. They want loose some moral restraint. You've never seen a time. There was a time, Sister Dorothy is old enough, and I'm old enough, and my wife is old enough, that you would have never, when we were kids and teenagers, ever see somebody go into a store in their pajamas. He said, that's how old you are. I am that old. You would also never see somebody go to a viewing, even if they were not saved. You would never find a woman going to a viewing in pants. And now you can't find one that knows how to wear a dress. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about the world out there. They're headed towards judgment. And they're going to get to the place where they will not repent. Repent means change your mind. They're not going to change their mind about who's God. They're going to let this idol be God. And the Superman of the great tribulation is the Antichrist. And the false prophet. They're the supermen calling far down out of heaven. They will simply take this world by storm because this world doesn't want restraint. The same crowd forgets that though you can never be free from a freedom, you want to be free from it. You want to be free from it, but you can never be free from it without a consequence. Everyone that you throw away has a consequence. Go back in America's history. We don't have to go across the land and don't have to cross the ocean to see it. Look at America's history. It happened in our age. God was kicked out of school in my lifetime. Prayer was taken out of school in my lifetime. The commandments was ripped out of public view in my lifetime. Israel became a state in my lifetime. Men came out openly. They said they was coming out of a closet. There was no closet. It's good sense. Back when I was a boy, you would not have wanted to be anywhere else but in a closet. But now there's more laws passed to protect the perversion than there is to protect sanity. And you can tell when a country, a nation has been given up on God, they will start passing laws that go above God's law. It's there. There is no freedom that has been given up that doesn't have a consequence. When we started letting people get a divorce for any reason, the next thing that followed on its heels was abortion. The next thing that followed abortion was same-sex marriage.
Preach, Pastor.
We are on the flood tide. It's stronger currents now than's ever been. You can't swim in a flood tide. You can't walk across a swollen river. It will carry you away. The flood is on. Virtue and vice are no more compatible than light and darkness. What concord hath light with darkness? Wherefore God said, come out from among them and be as separate, saith the Lord. And I will receive you. Am I right? Then you cannot sit. You cannot sit where they sit. You cannot do what they do. You cannot talk like they talk. You have to come out from among them. That doesn't just mean putting on an outfit. That means that you start with repentance. When the church loses repentance, when you can go to a church service and never get under conviction, when you can live like the devil, talk like the devil, and go up and take communion, you are in this horrible flood. The wages of sin is death. You'll get paid in full for what you do. Am I right? In Europe, they preach coexistence. Look at the state of Europe now. Evil is the enemy of righteousness. Evil is the enemy of righteousness. Just as sure as communism is the enemy of Christianity. Communism is atheistic. So when you hear of communists doing good, beware. Oh, you're not helping me. Evil can never be morally acceptable. It's one of those viruses, unless you kill it and destroy it, it will destroy you. Amen. Amen. John, 1 John chapter 3, verse 8 says, Jesus Christ came to destroy the works of the devil. I want to talk to you just a few minutes about revival. Revival will depend upon a new consciousness of wrongdoing. You know what I would do if I came to this church and I didn't like the pastor? I'd go home. You're never going to have revival until you believe in your leadership. Until you consent to the doctrine of this church, you will never have revival in this church. It is just that fact that you don't like. Just remember, repentance leads to this regeneration of mind and heart, body, soul, and spirit. You can't become whole till you learn to repent.
That's right.
When you cease repenting, and I know you said, I'm blessed God, I'm holiness. Sure you are. In your own eyes. True repentance comes from holiness of the heart. When our heart gets smitten, we should weep. When our heart repents, we should change. Not just pray off conviction.
No, sir. No,
We should change. All right. We have to get to regeneration before we can get to righteousness. The great sin of our society is that we just keep glamorizing sin. And men repented not that they should not worship devils. 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 Whoa, where is their mind? Where is their heart? That animated beast. That image, that's speaking. Remember, a false prophet has power to make an animated man speak. That's a devil. The devil is doing that. And the world is worshiping it.
You're right.
They should not worship devils. But yet, I'm not a movie goer. All right, you understand that? So I don't know a whole lot about them. But I do read the paper. Sometimes in a doctor's office, I'll read a magazine waiting on the doctor. And some of these fictional people. They are fictional. They ride on big birds. Am I right? They fight demons and dragons. Am I right? I know you're not wanting to shake your head because that would mean that you know something about it, but you can loosen up a little bit. I'm not gonna point you out. I'm just gonna tell you the truth. Where did all this demonic stuff come from? It's because the human heart is getting unrepentive. And we are worshiping the devil more than righteousness. And I must hurry. The second cancerous sin of society is materialism and secularism. We made our idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and wood, and neither can see nor hear nor walk. I've done your homework for you. Materialism, the doctrine that everything in the world, including thought, will, and feeling, can be explained only in the terms of matter. It eliminates the spirit. Eliminates God. Eliminates worship. Because it's materialism. And it includes in this, these things right here, the doctrine of everything in the world, including thought, will, feeling, can be explained only in the terms of material. The tendency to be more concerned with material than with spiritual values. That's materialism. I like the second one more than the first one. The tendency to be more concerned with material things than with spiritual values. Fits you yet? How about secularism? Rejection of any form of religious faith, the belief that religion should not enter into public education or other state functions. Secular just means this, living in an outside world, away from God. So we're here looking tonight at secularism, materialism, idols of gold and silver, brass, We've come to love the inanimate more than the animate, and machinery and appliances and gadgets and mechanical comforts more than we love God. For the Bible said they would be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. We have it right here in front of us. They've come to a little puppy dog means more than a baby. They will protect environmental species by saying that they are going to be extinct. They will stop road construction to save a frog. But you can walk right into an abortion clinic and get rid of something that's made in God's image. And yet we've not repented. And yet we've not repented. And yet we've not repented. We cannot have revival, and God will not give us revival until we come back to repentance. We're not repenting over this. We're not going to repent over our smartphone. We're not going to repent over our easy living. We're not going to repent over all of these restaurants, even though we know that each one that comes is just a reminder, for they shall eat and drink and marry and be given in marriage. Is there anything more important? Not to this secular world. Not to this materialistic world. But to a person that's running out of time. We've let these creature comforts blind our soul. I know. Hurry up, Pastor. I need to get out of here. We don't accept as eternal only that which we can see and feel and taste and smell or touch. We are denying that scripture which said that which is temporal is that which is seen. And that which is eternal is that which is not seen. I want to get a hold of what I can get a hold of. I got to have a hold of what I get a hold of. I can trust this. No, you can't. What you need to do is reach up there to where you can't see anything. And get a hold of an invisible God that has all power. That can change your family. That can change your children. That can heal your body. That can get your mind right. That can give you a new heart. That can give you a new spirit. That can give us a new church. If we don't repent, we shall all likewise perish. Our standard of living is no longer a moral standard. It is a material standard. It has become not what you are, but what you have that counts. If we would just hold that one truth right there, none of us would vote for the candidates that are being presented to us. If we look at what they are and not what they've got. That's all right. You don't have to say amen. The brave soul, the holiness seeker is out of fashion. You have common sense, you're out of fashion. You wear clothes, you're out of fashion. You don't do what they do, you're out of fashion. But the Bible said Lot would pitch his tent towards Sodom, and mankind will herd together. They will herd together. And moral conformity, more and more they're conforming. They seek refuge, not in the liberty wherewith Christ makes free, but they look for a state to tell them I can do this and I can do that. They want a state law. They want a government law. And what they're doing is coming to the place where they will find out that this final government will be a government that you will swear a loyalty to, that it will become your God. Third, the society's third sin is murder. The mood of mass murder is upon us. How many has forgotten already all of those men that took a rifle, a pistol, walked in to a job or to a school and opened fire indiscreetly? Am I right? Do I want to give up my weapon? No. But it's not the weapon, it's the heart. It's a sign of where our heart is going. Life is cheap. Therefore, the hearts of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. The whole of that scripture in Ecclesiastes is, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Let me tell you about murder. And this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. That's in chapter 7, verse 9. The answer that when asked whence came they, he said, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in the temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. Listen, they shall hunger no more. Why is that in there? Because they were killed in the great tribulation where you couldn't buy nor sell. They got hungry. Neither thirst anymore. Neither shall the sun light on them. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and lead them into living fountains of water. And God shall dry or shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Now, why do you think that it says here, which no man could number, of all nations, kindred, people, tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes and palms in their hands? In the tribulation, murder will be a sport. Anybody who's seen without a mark in his hand or a mark on his forehead is going to be sport. It's going to be state law, shoot him. Cut his head off. Murder is going to be something that they will not repent, because they feel like they're doing their government a service.
All right.
Am I boring you yet?
No, sir.
Decision is no longer so much a matter of law as it is a popular opinion. We're the law of the beast will supplant the law of God. For the commandment of God is, thou shalt not kill. Now I come to 4, sorcery. The Greek word for this is where we get our word for pharmacy and pharmaceutical drugs. It has heroin, marijuana, morphine, cocaine, opium, all driven by the power of a demon. You're not helping me, but we're demons are right now driving us towards a drug society. for filthy lucre's sake. They want to legalize marijuana when they know that marijuana is not harmless, never was harmless, never will be harmless. It's a drug. You're not helping me. The menace of this sin upon our day. The menace. See, you're not ready to repent yet. But we know that the only way we're going to snatch somebody out of that lifestyle is to have the power of God and the name of Jesus and the blood of the covenant. You are not going to send them to rehab and get them back. They will go to rehab and they will go back to rehab and they will go back to rehab and they will go back to rehab. If you want to be free from it, it takes an act of God, because there's an act of a demon that oppresses you. There's only one thing that this church can do when our teenagers are going to get caught in a trap like that. What do we do? Do we say, "Oh, I'm so sorry"? Or do we get mad at the devil instead of getting mad at our kids? There is a spirit that's behind that. Either pray through and get anointed, or quit driving that child further from God. I think we should repent. You see, addiction is a major social problem. Addiction is a major problem, not a minor problem. You say, "It's not in my house." Thank God for it. But don't boast. Guard your family. But don't play the fool. The devil is still able to change himself into an angel of light. And he's still able to sell that child of yours a bill of goods. Going up 75 one day, grabbed to go to Dayton. I passed a car on the side. There's three lane. I passed one over here. And as I looked into the car, there was four guys and one girl. The one girl had her head up against the window. She was stoned out of her head. And those guys were taking her to you know and who knows. What if that had been your girl? I talked with I've told you before, a beautiful young lady. I talked with her for over an hour. I talked with her, pleaded with her, "Don't live that kind of a lifestyle. You're going to die if you live that kind of a lifestyle." I talked to her. She said, "But we have fun." I said, "That's not fun. That's not fun. You're putting your life in jeopardy every time you do it." I said, "That's not fun." She said, "But it's something I like to do. I like to party." I said, "But you aren't going to break somebody's heart. You are going to break somebody's heart." I said, "You're going to end up dead. And they're going to have to think about you in eternity, lost, for the rest of their life." She just smiled at me, treated me kindly, treated me with respect, walked out unchanged. It wasn't long after, they found her in a motel, rubber around her arm, needle in her vein, in eternity, lost. Now, when you think that repentance isn't important, you remember where the devil takes all of his saps. He's going to take you to hell. Never forget that encounter with that demon And I rebuked that demon. I said, you're going to go to hell and you know it. And he said, yes. Out of a woman, petite woman. He said it with a gravelly voice. Yes. But I'm taking her with me. I said, that's your mistake right there. You're not doing it. God set her free that night. But that was the truth. The devil ever spoke a truth, he spoke it that night. That's exactly what he'll do with you if he can get you. That's his plan. Narcotics has become a problem. The great last things that we need is one day we'll realize that only repentance can save broken homes, because broken homes will eventually lead to a broken nation. We'll never understand what America has done to unborn babies who they have murdered. It's a sin towards everything that is right. Revelation 18 and 23 said, for by sorceries were all nations deceived. Revelation 21 and 8 says, sorcerers shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Revelation 22 and 15, for without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I must hurry. Broken homes offend a child. I am not talking of something that I do not know about. I am talking about something that I do know well about. It offends the child. And let me warn you, Jesus said it were better that a millstone tied around a person's neck and that person cast into the sea, Mark 9:42, than that person offend or destroy the faith of one of these little ones. The last one is dishonesty. The sin of dishonesty. John writes this, neither repented they of their thefts. It's right there in my text. Nor of their thefts. That word thefts is klimaton. It means to cheat and to steal, to take wrongfully from another person, either legally or illegally. Do you understand what the context of that is? This is the last 3.5 years, 42 months, 1,260 days. You can't buy or sell. It's an open black market. And they repented not of their thefts. They'll take your silver and your gold. They'll take your clothes. They'll take everything you've got. Because it's a state law. They will not repent of their theft. The Roman civilization collapsed when public office sought three fortunes. One, to pay back the money invested in buying that office. Two, the second, to obtain enough money to maintain that office. Third, enough money to retire in comfort when the thrust from that office by enraged taxpayers. Our government not far away, gouging, spending, all about them. Six sins is the number of a man. These six will suck you under, your family under, your nation under, and you will find God as your enemy. No law and order can survive when these sins go unrepented of. wrath of God will fall on them. Amen. The wrath of God. 2 Thessalonians 2:9 through 12 talks of a strong delusion. Stronger now than I've ever seen it. To get a sinner to repent and to stay repentive. It surprised me that the devil hasn't got Job. It really has. The only thing that I can say that keeps Job is grace. He knows nothing. He has no real experience with anything that like we do. And we don't pray for him. We don't fast for him. We don't weep for him. He's alive. Needs instruction. He's got to put it together. God's got to help him get a job. God's got to help him make decisions. But when we look at Job, we don't see Job. We just see a mixed-up boy. But when God looks at Job, he sees a soul. What do you see? Do you see any need to have revival? That one word, neither repented they of their murders, nor their sorceries, nor their fornication. That word fornication is a Greek word where we get our word pornography. It simply means, the Greek word just simply means, it's a term describing sexual sins of every variety. Fornication, adultery, rape, homosexuality, child porn. Indescribable sexual perversions that will be in that day, but are also in ours. We have one chance, church. It took us months and years to get that revival that lasted 3 weeks. It didn't come in a day. It took us praying, me preaching, telling you we've got to have it. The Holy Ghost coming and confirming it. And now that we've had it, we're back to our unrepented ways. It didn't change you. The Holy Ghost has pleaded with us that he will do this for us. But in order for him to do it for us, we must change. Repentance is change your mind. The Antichrist is somewhere right now. Has to be. You have to believe that. If you say you're in the last of the last days, he's got to be there, because when we're taken out, he steps in. I hope I'm not boring you. But I need a church that's going to repent. I need a church that's going to say to God, I want to be ready. I need a church that says, I've got a burden. I don't want my children to be lost. When I look at our precious little boys that just tear this rug up, you know, running and having fun. I said, life, yes, yes, life, but also, oh God, oh God, if we don't repent and show them what godly sorrow is, they will be just like us. And the flood is coming. Take them all away. And the flood is coming. And going to take them all away. Except for those that are snatched out of the fire. You're not helping me tonight. Joe, I'm so glad you're praying. I know it's rough. I know it's rough on you. You're young. You need a lot of guidance. Stick with us. Stay with us. Stay with us. Come when you can. Stay with us. Well, somebody one night will have a word. And it may just alter your life. Whether Brother Gary preaching or somebody else preaching, listen for it. He that hath ears, let him hear. I'm not talking to you because you won't even listen to me. I'm going to talk to him. He'll listen to me. Make sure you hear every word that the preacher says. And when something feels like it belongs to you, claim it, grab it, put it in your pocket of your heart. Take it home, pray about it, weep over it. Look in the Bible to see if you can find it. Find the source of it, and it'll all lead you back to God. And as you're being led back to God, God will straighten out the pieces of your life.
Yes, He will.
I got one message for Dryden. I need a church that's going to repent. That doesn't mean you're sinful. It doesn't mean you're awful. It doesn't mean that you're ugly. It just means that you've got an attitude that's going to kill us if we don't change it. All right. This is it. I sit up here and I'm an observant. I pray with people and I sit up here and I watch. I watch people pray. I watch people. As soon as I'm through preaching and we say come to the altar, you go out that door. You do it on Tuesday night. You do it on Thursday night. You do it on Sunday morning. You do it on Sunday night. You've got a very crippling habit.
Yes.
You would rather feed yourself than to feed on God. You spend a few minutes here. And you go out as soon as we dismiss. And you stand here and you talk. And you talk, and you talk, and you talk. And I thought, I need you to do that with God. I really need you to do that with God. He's the only one that can help us. Anyone raise one hand and say, Pastor,